Do you recognize who this is? That is good. Because this is going to be us from now on. So I will speak this whole sermon with my mask on. I can see Jim rolling his eyes. No, I will not. As you know, I really did not do so well through the COVID season. I have taken you through some of the Psalms that I depended on. We looked at Psalm 56 first, then we looked at Psalm 60, and today we will look at Psalm 58. And it was this psalm that was a turning point in my life. And you will know that why. And I titled the psalm, If I Were God. And when I titled that, I can see that Pastor Jim and others were not so happy. So eventually I moved it to all small letters. So If I Were God, it's a small g. But you would see in this psalm, this is one of those psalms where I kind of don't want non-believers to see this psalm. This is a psalm where David is being so transparent about his feelings. Matter of fact, we will see some really cool stuff about this psalm. I'll start with introduction. Now, I do believe in obeying the government and wearing masks. I carry the mask with me when I go in public, and I take it with me in the park, and I try to walk early in the morning so that I could take it off while I'm walking, but the rest of the time I wear it. I'm not happy about it, but I wear it. But I want to show you why this frustrated me the greatest. I'm going to share my screen for a moment and show you why it frustrated me. Now, I'm going to pick on someone. This has nothing to do with Singapore government. I don't want you to think I'm upset at Singapore government. I am upset at WHO, World Health Organization. Okay, and I'll tell you why. This is in January 29, and if you see it, I have highlighted it, and they are saying a medical mask is not required, as no evidence is available on its usefulness to protect non-sick persons. This is January 29. However, masks might be worn in some countries according to the local cultural habits. If masks are used, best practice should be followed on how to wear, remove, and dispose of them, and on hand hygiene actions after removal. That is in January. In February, the WHO guidance is that we recommend people to wear masks if they themselves are sick, if they themselves have respiratory signs and symptoms. That's on February 27th. And on April 6th, however, there is currently no evidence that wearing a mask, whether medical or other types, by healthy persons in the wider community settings, including universal community masks, can prevent them from infections with respiratory viruses, including COVID-19. That's on April 6th, after you and I were locked inside our house, a circuit breaker, with mask wearing. This is on June 5th. There is limited evidence that wearing a medical mask by healthy individuals in households, in particularly those who share a house with a sick person or among attendees of mass gathering, may be benefit as a measure preventing transmission. This is all from World Health Organization. I'm not making them up. You're more than welcome to go and read it at their site. This is on August 5th. You remember the month before September? August. Not that far off. You had to kind of really find this because they hidden it. When you go to mask wearing, it says they go back to June 7th because they have not updated their guidance. And when you go there, it says, at the present time, the widespread of masks everywhere is not supported by high quality scientific evidence. And there are potential benefits and harms to consider. This I looked at Friday, right? What would you think if one side you're supposed to wear, I do need to obey the government, right? That's Romans 13. So I do obey the government. But as I said, I do get upset at who? Matter of fact, this is one of the reasons that drove me so crazy through the whole COVID season. And I came to this beautiful verse. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Which is what we saw in Psalm 58:1. Sorry, it's a 68:1, 58:1. Or, this is NIV version. Do you rulers indeed speak justly? That's the reason I titled, If Only I Were God. Because in my mind, all these WHO people are playing gods. They tell us there is no use in wearing masks if you're healthy, and then they say, wear it. Wait a minute. Is there benefit or not? If there is no benefit, why must I wear when I am healthy? You indeed decree what is right, you gods. And the answer is no, they don't, because their website says don't wear, and then they tell us wear. They're speaking out of both sides of the mouth. That is why I am upset, one of the many reasons. Now, the outline of the psalm is very simple. Verses 1 through 5 talk about David's complaint. And then verses 6 through 11, watch carefully what I had written. God, David's solution. God, David. Because as we read through the Psalms, you would see Andrew's complaint, just as David's complaint. But then, God, Andrew also had a solution. Nobody was listening to me except my poor wife. But I had a solution, just as David had a solution. So let's look at Psalm 58 with me, please. Okay. Let me get the psalm so that I know what I'm talking about. Psalm 58. To the choir master. I absolutely love the title, the tune that we are supposed to sing this song to. Okay? Now look at the tune that we are supposed to sing this song. Do not destroy. Right? And you heard Pastor Jim read Psalm to us. What did he say? Break their teeth in their mouth, verse 6, oh God. Tear those fangs from those lions. Let them vanish like water. Now, that's a song where you say the tune is not to destroy. But the request is to destroy. My youngest son used to, there was a song that we would listen to by Beatles that my youngest son found it very troublesome. The song went like this. I forgot to remember to forget. Okay? I forgot to remember to forget. And he could not figure out how could you forget to remember to forget. That's the tune to which we will sing this song in modern days. Okay? Because he says, this is to be sung as not destroy, do not destroy, but then he would actually ask God to destroy the people. It is a psalm of David, and as you can read, it is also a Miktim song. As I said, it has two sections, so I'll read the first section first. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of people uprightly, children of men uprightly? No. In your hearts, you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that it doesn't hear the voice of the charmers or the cunning encounters. Now, what is interesting about this psalm, I do need to give a background, and the background is, even though the entire Bible is inspired and God's word, sometimes God lets people be people, which means he would say honestly, well, Abraham had a real wife and a maid that he took as his wife. David had a real wife, but then he looks over and sees a lady on the roof taking a bath, and he steals her, kills her husband. Bible does not sugarcoat people's lives or people's feelings. Very important to keep in mind, because we Christians love to sugarcoat situations. Matter of fact, pastors like Jim and Rick, elders like Matt and I, we can be transparent with you. We can use vulgar words with you. We had to put nice tie and nice shirt and appear, because somehow we have made this world where Christians must be, at least in people's eyesight, awesome people who don't have any trouble in their marriage, who have godly children. They're all A students, and they're all prospering in life, and they're all becoming preachers and missionaries. But in our reality, we are just like other people in the Bible, just like Samson, just like David, just like Joseph, who is a good character, but yet has a little bragging tendencies. Just like Moses, who says, I am slow in tongue, and writes 5 Old Testament books. Like Paul, who fights with his own friend Barnabas, throws off Mark later to pick him back up again. Bible doesn't sugarcoat people's lives or people's words. So all that we are hearing in these words are not inspired in the sense we need to turn around and say these things to other people. That's not what it means. It is to show us there are sometimes in our lives, we just look at things and say, this is horribly wrong. Whether we are right or wrong doesn't matter. That is how we feel, and we should express our feelings just like how David had expressed. He says, do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? By the way, I love that NIV and ESV. ESV says, you gods, and NIV says, you rulers. What is funny about that for me as a language teacher, gods and rulers are not in the Hebrew and Greek text. But I'm still glad they put them in, because that gives me a nice story, right? It makes me get angry at the leaders because the translations put them. There's 3 words that are left in, 3 letters that are left in Hebrew that nobody knows what they are, and they decided to interpret them as gods. You can see David's genuine feeling. He thinks they don't judge God's people right, uprightly. Their hearts are devising wrongs, and their hands are planning violence. Now, this is how Andrew felt. Against who? You don't know what the heck you are talking about. You say one thing and do another one. It is so amazingly fun to me when I watch some channels. I'm not going to mention what channel they are. And they are fighting that they should wear masks. Everyone should wear masks or taken out and shot. But they don't ever have masks on. If you genuinely believe, why don't you put the mask on when you're talking? Because there is a cameraman looking at you. Don't you care about the cameraman's life? You're going to spit all over and you don't care about that. And yet you proclaim, wear the mask. That's what Andrew felt, because that's exactly what David felt. We don't know what situation he was going through, but in his mind, what he was watching is unjust, unfair, taking advantage of the people, and was not good at all. Now, just like Andrew, I have a feeling David was a little crazy in the head. He is just a human, right? Pressures push us beyond how we can act. I know Cynthia and Danny went through such a turmoil. Two of them were in U.S., or I think three of them were in U.S., one in India, one in Singapore. And many of us are in situations like that, where that COVID came, governments tried to do their best they can, but we were all victimized and we all felt like, don't you care? Don't you decree what is right? You gods, you rulers, do you do anything upright? I know some of you had to be quarantined for 2-3 weeks and have bindo box. That makes me really upset. So I better calm down, right? So David has a plan for God. Matter of fact, David, Mr. God David, has a plan for God, right? So he says in verses 6 through rest, oh God, break their teeth in their mouth. Tear out the fangs of the lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrow, let them be blunted. Let them be like snail that dissolves into slime. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of the thorn, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, surely there is reward for the righteous. Surely there is God who judges the earth. Now, if you notice, I skipped a verse or two. I can't even say them. But David says horrible things against his enemy. Matter of fact, he thinks he is so right that he needs God to come and take vengeance on his behalf, and then he would be happy. Now, I caught myself in this similar situation on two occasions. The first one, I'm sorry I'm confessing this, but I will say this. One evening, Lori came home. I had cooked dinner. I've been cooped in the house all the time. And I had plenty to drink. As we were sitting there and eating, Lori went to the kitchen to wash dishes. For the first time in a long time in my life, I used the F word at somebody. I don't even remember who was I was yelling. Lori, who was in the kitchen, turns around and says, what did you say? That's when I realized I have become second God David. I did not wait for God to answer. I did not wait for God to react. I want vengeance, just as David wanted vengeance. Matter of fact, he even nicely sugarcoats it. If you see it at the end, he says, oh, when you come and bathe them, then surely there will be reward for the righteous. Surely they would say, God is with them who judges the enemies. He is speaking for God's behalf. He wants God to side with him and destroy his enemies. Now here comes the amazing concept I want you to pay attention to. In Psalm 56, David caught himself into trouble. And he cried out to God for help. And God came and delivered him. In Psalm 60, again, David got himself into trouble. David and all his army people, because they went and fought for God. And so many people were orphaned. And he again cried out to God. And God said, "They are still my people. I still care for them." What's the difference about Psalm 58? God does not speak. Mr. God David speaks. God David asked him to take vengeance on the enemies. God is totally silent. He doesn't defend David's anger. He doesn't judge David's anger. He just remains silent. That's what broke my heart. When I got to that point and I saw that it's okay that I can mumble all that I want and say all that I want, and still God is silent, patient, kind, and he would not listen to God David or God Andrew. He will do what is right. Around that time, I had a breakfast with Jim, and I confessed, "Pastor Jim, some of my struggles." And he said, "It's all about the control of your mind." Now, that I'm paraphrasing. Maybe he didn't even say that, but that's what I heard. Yeah. I came home and I went to one of my favorite verses, favorite passage. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. This is where he is asking the people to stand, fastened with some of the armors of the Lord. But I want you to start with verse 12, where it says, Ephesians 6, 12, "Where we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." You see, Andrew, just as David, had purely thought of earthly thoughts. I thought my fight, my frustration with mask, it is all against flesh and blood, humans. Our real fight isn't against humans. But remember, think about this. How often do you hear in the news media, "We are going through COVID crisis. This is a spiritual warfare"? Have you ever heard that? I have watched CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, Asia Minor, I don't know, I'm making up all these names, CNA, yeah? I've never heard one person say, "This is a spiritual battle." They all said, "Oh, somebody released it in a market, maybe they ate bats, and the scientists will come up with real solution for us." Our war, it isn't really against flesh and blood. There is a spiritual war behind it. And that's when I realized I'm in the middle of a spiritual warfare in my head, and I can't stand because I am naked. I am not properly clothed. Now, I want you to know Andrew is still in the battle. Andrew is still struggling. Andrew some days wins, some days loses. Some hours he wins, some hours he loses. I have a feeling many of you are in similar battles. Maybe not with COVID. Maybe with somebody's illness. Maybe with somebody's loss of job. I just read a horrible news this morning. A general manager locked three Indian workers 52 days in a room. And he's been fined $9,000. That's inhumane. Yeah, when you read news, that was in Straits time. When you read news like that, it boils your blood. But you see, it is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. COVID, we may learn to wear masks, we may get vaccines, we may get over all of it, but that's only temporary. All of us are engaged in a spiritual warfare, and we are given warfare tools that we need to have them on. Let me quickly take us through them. First is, in English translations, it says that you wear the belt of truth, which makes perfect sense. But for the modern Christians, especially the Westerners here, let me give you an illustration. Keep your pants above the underwear, right? I don't know how many shows I saw where these guys go to steal a bank or steal something and their pants are below the underwear in their knee and they trip on their own pants and fall down. If you are going to go rob, put your pants up and put a belt on. In India, we wear something called lungi. Yeah, lungi comes all the way down to the floor, and you can't run on them. What you have to do is carry your lungi and put it around your waist. Then you can run. I hear Momo laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what Paul is saying. First, wrap your waist, put the belt on, make sure you can run. You're in a battle. And the only way you can run is you have truth on your side. The second thing you do, again, it says put the breastplate on. In the text, it just simply says cover your chest. That's the most vulnerable part. Has two lungs, they can both collapse and you'll die, and a heart behind it, and a whole bunch of other important stuff, including liver. Protect yourself. Protect your chest with righteousness. Remind yourself that in Christ, you are righteous. Put on the armor. That's the only way we can fight. And then he says, cover your feet. Or as it says in some of the translation, put the shoes on your feet. Put gospel at your feet. Tell yourself the gospel message. And I want to stop with the next one, because that's the one I had a hard time with. I think I had all the other three. But what I did not have was the shield. Look at the shield and all the descriptions about the shield. Put on the shield with which you can extinguish the fiery darts that the evil one is throwing at you. And the faith, and the shield's name is faith. Andrew had faith in God for salvation. But Andrew did not have faith in God that he would see me through this COVID crisis. When I would read the newspaper, when I would hear the messages, when I hear horrible stories, just as what Asan shared about people not having food, people dying. We had two people in our neighborhood that committed suicide because they have no job. Jumped off 15th floor stories. We went to a friend's house and he says, there's a guy sitting on the ledge last weekend, getting ready to take his life. Suicide rates worldwide had multiplied. One number was 500% because people have no hope. COVID kills, we would one day sing a song. COVID killed 1 million people. The rest of COVID killed 10 million people, just like the David and Saul song. There's alcohol, drugs are overused, marriages are broken, families are divided, domestic abuse has increased, people have taken life because all do not have the shield that can protect them from the fiery darts that the evil one throws at them. I must confess, my faith was greatly weakened. I did not lose my salvation. I did not think there is salvation outside of Christ. I did not blaspheme Christ. But I must say, I did not live as a Christian either. My faith was so weakened, I became desperate, depressed, to the point Lori had to tell my cardiologist to put me on antidepressant medicine. Shield of faith. I don't know where you are at this moment. You may already have the shield of faith and so protected. I praise God for you. But you may be struggling to have the faith shield around you. Or you may be like God David. All you can think of is destruction of the enemies. I beg you, move on. At least come to have a little faith, little hope, because our real battle isn't against flesh and blood, isn't against governments that are earthly, isn't against WHO, isn't against CDC, it isn't against doctors and nurses, it isn't against anything earthly. It is all to do with spiritual battle. Now, this is the good news. Because it is a spiritual battle, we know the victor of the spiritual battle. Yeah? The Lord Jesus, it didn't matter how powerful they are, it says with the breath of his mouth, he can destroy them all. One day, we would look back and see how the Lord Jesus was victorious. But the only thing that can take us to that day is the shield of faith. If your faith is weak, be like the fellow in the Gospels that said, Lord Jesus, I really want to believe, but I can't. I'm struggling. Help me. There's a beautiful verse in Timothy that says, if our faith is weak, he will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. This is a time where the Lord is being so patient, and when he is being so patient and so quiet, we all wish, if only I were God, I'll bring judgment. But instead, what we really need is the shield of faith. Know that this is a spiritual warfare, and enemies of God are tossing darts, fiery darts at us. And the only way we can barely able to stand is by keep hoping, keep trusting, keep having faith in God. If any one of you lack in your faith and need any one of the leadership to help you somehow, don't hesitate to call us. Start with stable people like Pastor Jim and Pastor Rick. Then you can call insane people like Andrew. Matt is good too. Matt being a military guy, anything can fall on him and roll off. So when you can get in touch with any of them, please call me, but don't be alone. One of the worst things you can do in a battle is to be alone. You always need someone's back, protecting your back. Yeah, and the whole church is waiting to help each other. Find someone that can strengthen your faith so that you can endure. Now, if you're not in this situation at all, then volunteer to be that person who would be the strong soldier for a weak soldier at this moment. Write to one of the leaders and say, I am really strong. I really handle COVID. I can help anyone. We would love to hear from you and pair you up with broken hearts all over. God loves us. He hasn't forgotten us. He is not paralyzed. Even though this virus is called Novia virus, new virus, he says, oh, I cataloged it a long time ago. I gave it its name, but it's not Novia. It's an old virus I knew all about, and I'm still in control. One day, we will look back and we would say, why was I so afraid? But until then, let's hold each other up. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you that you allow us to be little gods, like God David and God Andrew, and vent our frustrations. First of all, thank you that you don't get angry at us. And thank you, secondly, for not getting angry at the ordinary people out there who are trying their best to do what they can. Our war isn't against flesh and blood. Our war is against spiritual battles that we can't even see. But you have given us all the armors we need. Above all, you told us you are with us always. You love us. And you told us that you have won all enemies. They are all under the Lord Jesus' feet. When our faith is feeble, we pray, Father, you strengthen us. I pray for our church that if there are people hurting, we pray that you pair them up with strong Christians so that we don't walk alone. We have each other to lean on this spiritual battle. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.